And we're gonna recap just a little bit for those that wasn't here or wasn't listening by way of internet and also for us. I know a lot of times if I haven't been on something all week, I forget some things. I got a lot of echo into me up here for this about that place. Now, I wrote this down. The word of the Lord must be the foundation, the underlying, the undergirding for everything we believe. If there's not a word of the Lord, written word, spoken to you, whatever that it is, there's no way that you can have faith. Why? Because faith only comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's not just any word, it's by the word of God. So you have to have that as your foundation for whatever it is that you're believing. And the word comes to us through many different forms. I told you last week, it can come through reading the Bible. That's one form. They call that logos. It comes, God speaking directly to your spirit. They call that rhema. Or God, you read this word and all of a sudden it sticks out to you. It's quickened. I mean, as the Holy Spirit, he's the one that does the quickening. It comes alive to you or whatever. It can come through preaching or teaching, ministering or something like that. It can come through prophets, you know. It can come through a child, a husband, a wife. The word of the Lord can come, I guess, probably almost every way that there is, you know. Yeah, through a donkey, you know. That's a good one. Hopefully we won't ever have to have it come that way because you're pretty dense if you do. But, you know, some of us, we need help. But anyway, it can come through many different ways. Now, let's look at Romans 10. In verse 9. Well, I want to start in verse 8. Well, no. Verse 6. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, or we would say near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, as it be in both places, that is the word of faith which we preach. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart, sounds like, what, Mark 11? Sounds like that, don't it? Because this is the way of faith. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We'll stop here for just a second. This is the way you got born again. This is the same way you do everything in the kingdom. Everything. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith you cannot even live a good Christian life pleasing to the Lord. You can do some religion. You ain't saying nothing. You can do some religion, but if you're going to please God by your walk, you must believe him, what he says. You must have faith. He goes on here, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we went over last week over to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We're not going to take time to go back over there. But it talks about how the children of Israel, they heard the word of the Lord, but they wouldn't mix faith with it. Faith has to have action. True faith will always have some kind of action. It's always going to have your words with it. Why? Because according to Scripture, whatever's in your heart in abundance, it's going to come out of your mouth. I can say a lot of stuff to a lot of people at a lot of different times, but really what I believe when I'm under pressure... I say a whole bunch of stuff to y'all. But it's when I'm under that pressure. Whatever comes out of my mouth, that's truly what I believe in my heart. Why? Because I can't change that. Nobody can change that. You can say something, but when pressure is applied to your life, why? Because that's the fruit, that's actually what's in you. You know, a lot of people talk a lot of hot air until they're put to the test. And then when they're put to the test, something different comes out. Well, I believe that. No, you didn't. Why? Because when the time pressure is applied, whatever you really believe in your heart, not in your head, in your heart, that's what comes out. Whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's unbelief. Some of y'all may remember whenever Travis had the motorcycle wreck and we got the phone call. Scotty was going to go, and Beth was going to bring Aubrey to me where she could go up there with Scotty and everything. And I looked at Scotty and I told him, I said, not one word out of your mouth. Now, I'm not telling him not to say anything. Now, he knows what I'm talking about at the time, because we know first words is what you really believe, and they set in motion things. Why? The Bible says there's life and death in the power of my tongue. This is not the time to be speaking doubt, fear, or unbelief. This is the time that I need the faith of God that's in my heart coming out of my mouth, not listening to what my head is telling me. So I looked at him, I told him, I said, not one word out of your mouth. And he knows what I'm talking about. So he gets over there, you know, and handles the situation or whatever. If you don't put the word in, there's not any faith going to be coming out of your mouth or in through your actions. That's just the way it is. It doesn't matter who you are. Why? Because that's the only way faith comes. Right? Ain't that what the Bible says? That's how it comes. By hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. There's many different ways now to hear the word of the Lord. You're hearing the word of the Lord this morning. And to some of you, it may just be one phrase that I say that sticks out to you or means anything to you. And then some, it may be nearly the whole thing. You know, I don't know where everybody's at, but God does. But that's how faith comes. And whenever faith comes, you've got to have a You will have a corresponding action. We read that over there in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Y'all remember? Let's go read that for just a minute. I'll tell you a little story. Somebody find James. I'm not going over there and read that. I'm going to have one of y'all read it. April, you find it ready, please, when I tell you to read it and tell this little story. Y'all heard this testimony of my brother-in-law, Jimmy. He had had a stroke, and I don't know what happened to him the other day. To my knowledge, he was eating on his egg sandwich or whatever and just kind of like passed out or whatever, become unresponsive and all of that. Well, anyway, my mama calls me and tells me all of that and everything, and I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I start praying in tongues. Why? Because I don't know. In my head, I don't know. So I start praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues and everything. And I'm looking, while I'm praying in tongues, I'm looking on the inside for the word of the Lord. Why? Because apart from him, I can do how much?
Nothing.
So it can't be what I want necessarily. It can't be my will necessarily. But it's got to be whatever he says. And I'm getting nothing. And so then I start talking to the Lord in English, and I begin to appeal to God's mercy. Why? Because I don't have no word of the Lord necessarily. See, it can't be just a word that I run over here to this Bible and I pick out because that's what I want. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Why? How? Just like this, for an example. One Christian wants it to rain because their garden's getting dry. Another Christian's trying to build a pond so they don't want no rain. And both of them praying. What's that going to be? His will. Now, Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And if you study that, at the word of the Lord, he said it. God told him it ain't going to rain for 3.5 years, right? Then after 3.5 years, God told him it was going to rain, and he told the servant, go look. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He went, look, there was nothing. I can't just do whatever my will is. So during this time, I'm appealing to God's mercy. Why? Because I know God and I know his word. He is merciful. The Bible says his mercy endureth forever. So that's all I have, is to appeal to God's mercy. You know, telling God, you know, thank you, Lord, he shall live and not die. You know, I'm asking you to be merciful. God, his job's not done yet. Down these lines. And he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I never get a word, but I tell God I'm looking on the inside. And I'm not hearing him say anything. I said, God, whatever you say, I will do. In my mind, I'm thinking, God, if you say go down there, he's dead, lay hands on him, raise him up from the dead, I don't care who I got to fight in the hospital to get him, I will do it. I don't care how stupid, crazy I look or anything else. You know, if you tell me to go do something that looks retarded, away, I will. But God, nevertheless, what are you saying? Well, I don't necessarily hear a word or whatever. And while I'm praying, then my mama calls me back and she tells me they've called, Jeffrey had to call his brothers, you know, to come in. And so I'm still praying and everything. And then she, right after that, she calls me back and says, oh, he's okay. They suctioned him down and he's fine.
Man, thank you, Jesus.
Why am I telling you all that? I can't just run off and do whatever I want to do. Even though I may want to do something, I can't do nothing without he tells me. But I don't necessarily always have to have him to tell me directly to my spirit. Sometimes he can tell me through you. Sometimes he can tell me through somebody else. Right? There's a reason why. April, go ahead and read that. 14 through 18.
What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you send unto them to part in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you feed them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit of? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith, but I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith.
What I believe comes out through my actions, through my words and through my actions. That's how come you can see people saying one thing, but it doesn't. Their lifestyle doesn't line up with their words and what they're saying. But if I've got faith, it's going to come out in my actions. And a lot of times it's only just speaking. Sometimes there's nothing else I can do other than say the word of the Lord. Now, faith. We say faith. Faith is just simply believing something or believing somebody. God has no greater joy than to be believed. That's all he's ever wanted, for his people to believe him and trust him. If you believe him, you will trust him, right? Even when it looks absolutely impossible. So faith is believing. And how many knows that is a choice? I choose to believe him, Sandy. I heard the word of the Lord. I acted on the word of the Lord just like everybody else that got born again. And then you begin to have a relationship with him. Now, let's look at John chapter 20. We read this last week. We're going to read it real quick. Just to recap just a little. John chapter 20. I think it's 24 through 31. Is that right? Verse 24. Now Jesus had already appeared to the disciples in this, but Thomas wasn't there at the time. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Could he have believed? Of course he could. Why? Believing is a choice. This is outright rebellion. He knows the Lord is real. He knows Jesus told him in 3 days he'd be back, right? He knows what the Lord said. But because he didn't see it, he's not going to believe it. He goes on and he says, 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Just like this. Ain't none of us that I know of. Anybody in here, you ever saw Jesus?
No.
No. Do you believe he's real?
Yes.
Do you believe his word?
Yes.
But you've never seen him. Thomas could have done the same thing. Why? Because if somebody's preaching, you have believed the word of the Lord that come to you through somebody, somehow or another. He could have too. And it goes on, it says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now look at John chapter 4, but we won't look at that one. Anyway, you can go back and read it for yourself. It's John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. We looked at it last week. It's the woman at the well that Jesus came to, you know, and she's talking with him and everything, and all of a sudden he tells her, okay, go call your husband. If you want this living water, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He says, truly, you've said you've had five husbands, and now you're just shaking. You know, oh, now I perceive you're a prophet. You know, so anyway, she went off and told all of those in the village that, and listen, I'm sure they all knew her. You know, so she went back and she told them, said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And they believed her, and they went. And then once they got there, they said, now we believe because we've seen and talked to him. We did believe at your word, but now we believe because we've experienced him for ourselves. Right? Now, I want to turn over there because last week I didn't get to a lot of what I was going to. Romans chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. We looked at it last week. It talks about the righteousness which is of by faith and all that. And it goes on and it says, this was written not only for our sakes, but for those that would believe afterward.
Amen.
On the word. That would be me and you, right?
Yeah.
And those after us and before us. Now, let's look at John 17 since we're here in John. John 17, 18 through 21, I think is what I'm going to read. Now, Jesus has been talking to his disciples, and here in verse 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, talking to the Father. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall what?
Believe.
Believe on me, how? Through their word. Through his disciples. He's not going to speak directly to us. His disciples are going to speak, and then disciples after that, and so on and so forth. But he says that they neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, look at Amos 3. That's usually not one most people go to every day. It's after Joel. I had to go the other day and figure out, go to the front of the Bible, get the number. Like I say, I don't read this one much. Verse 7, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Amplified says it this way. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. So pretty much reads it the same way. Now, this is Old Testament. Go over to Ephesians 4. I know we're going to a lot of scripture. It's good. Y'all have Scotty after me. You might not get none. His gift works the way it works, and mine works the way it works. I can't hardly say nothing without scripture. Where did I say y'all go?
Ephesians.
Oh, yeah, Ephesians 4. Just see if y'all paying attention. Look at verse 11. Talking about Jesus, what he gave. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, the word perfect there means mature, man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. But notice that verse 11. That's where he gave the fivefold ministry, and one of those in there is still today we have prophets. Now, does that mean I have to have a prophet to hear anything from the Lord? Absolutely not. Now, in the Old Testament, a lot of times, the word of the Lord didn't come to everybody like it does today. You get born again today, you can hear God for yourself. But how many knows God won't let you hear everything, just you and him? Some people, they just don't like that, Sandy. They just can't stand that. But that's the way he works it, right? Why? He made it so everybody has a part and we need each other.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, we got these. I got Jesus in my living room. Well, he's there with you. If you're born again, he's in there. But you're going to miss out on a whole lot. Why? Because you ain't got me and you ain't got you and you ain't got you and you ain't got you. And God works and speaks through all of us at different times.
Right.
But today we still have prophets. Why? He says, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, and he goes on up. He says, so we won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So we grow up in him. So that's one of the jobs of the prophets. Why? Everybody's not a prophet.
Right.
A lot of times what happens today is, now prophets, most the majority of the time they have to have, we talked about this a pretty good while ago, the gifts of the Spirit over there in 1 Corinthians 12. Y'all remember that? We did a long, trialed out thing on those. Well, for prophets, most of the time they have to have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits operating in their ministry if they are going to be one that ever tells the future or foretelling of events. Why? Because that is the word of wisdom. And they'll have those working in their ministry. Well, we still have those today. Why? Because God uses them to tell the body of Christ of things that he's going to do.
Yep.
He did it in the Old Testament. Y'all remember? I'll tell you where it's at. We're not going to go read it because I'm not going to take the time to do that. In Genesis chapter 18, I think it is. You can go back and you can read that chapter for yourself. But the way that story goes is God is going to do a work down at Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's called, he's going to wipe them out, boy. Why? Because it is stitching his nostrils of the things that's going on down there. Well, lo and behold, three men come walking, and we know it to be the Lord. Abraham is sitting out there in the door of his tent, the Bible says, and he sees these men coming. He runs out there, you know, oh, come in, you know, let me cook you something to eat. Let me get you some water and all this stuff. Y'all looking at me strange. Y'all know the story, right? We don't need to go read it. Okay. Because y'all can go read it. I only have a limited amount of time here. But anyway, fixing something, they, God tells him, you know, you're going to have a son. You know, Sarah's going to bear you a son and all that. And she's standing behind the door and she laughs. Y'all remember that?
Yep.
And God says, wherefore, why did she laugh? And she said, I didn't. She did. But she says, I didn't. You know, lo and behold, goes on down. They're getting ready to leave and everything. And he says, should I do this without telling this to Abraham first? And he says, no. I'm going to tell Abraham. And he says, I know that he will command his children. And he goes on and he tells Abraham, he's going down there to Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, basically going to wipe it out. And Abraham, being the man that he is, he says, oh, Lord God, would you destroy the righteous along with the wicked?
Right.
He would never. How do I know that? I know him. He doesn't destroy the righteous.
Right.
The righteous are his. The Bible says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. Don't you? When your children, don't it do your heart good to bless your children when your children's doing good, you know, and they have all that they need and everything? Yeah. You wouldn't be a very good parent if you didn't. But anyway, he tells him and everything. He says, oh, Lord God, would you destroy the righteous along with the wicked? And he says, no. I think he starts out, what is it, 50 he starts out with, you know? He says, oh, okay, if there's 50 righteous down there, I won't do it. Well, you know, him knowing, you know, what's going on down there outside of Gomorrah, he probably's thinking, oh, they might not be 50. He goes on now, 45, you know, keeps on going down, 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 down. Gets down, I think, all the way to, what is it, 10? And he says, well, will you not restore, destroy it for 10? God says, no, if I find 10 righteous there, I will not destroy the city. I guess he figured, surely there's at least 10, you know, because he stopped there. He should have went home, but he didn't. And God told him, okay, I won't. So we know the story. He goes down there. There's not 10. But what does he do? He gets out Lot and his wife and their daughters. And he sends them away and tells them, don't look back. Go. Get out of here. I'm going to destroy this city. But what's he doing? He's saving the righteous out of that before he destroys them.
That's right.
This is something God always does. If he don't take you out, he'll keep you during it. Yeah, he'll put you in a different place if he needs to. He'll take you out of it. Whatever it is that God needs to do to sustain, take care of, and protect the righteous, he will do.
Yep.
And I'm not saying you won't ever have to have hardship. I'm not saying none of that. But he says he won't destroy the righteous along with the wicked. Why? Because judgment comes on the wicked. Well, y'all know how that story goes. There wasn't 10, so he got them out of there. He saved them out of there anyway. Why? Because God is good. What's my point in all that? God didn't want to do it without revealing it to Abraham first. And he's still the same God today. He says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. I'm the same today, yesterday, forevermore. God works with us here in the earth. The Bible says he's given the earth to the sons of men, but it's only on a lease. But God's not going to just come in here and just wipe everything out or do everything he wants to. Why? He's bound himself to his word, and he's chosen to operate through and in and with us, his people. That's just the way he wants it. So still today, God is speaking to his people. And sometimes, if he don't speak it necessarily to his people, he'll speak it to his pastors. He'll speak it to his teachers. He'll speak it to his apostles. And he still speaks it to his prophets. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20. Good to see you, Matthew. You've been missing me.
Yeah.
Now, this is the story where the Moabites and the Ammonites and all that, they came against Jehoshaphat and his people and everything. And we're not going to take time to read all this. We read it last week, but I didn't get to where I wanted to go. So that's what's going on at the time. Now in verse 14, it says, then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benani, the son of Jeel, the son of Madani, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. This is where we are today. There is a lot of God's people that don't have a clue as to what's going on, so they are terrified. Y'all ain't saying that, but they're terrified. Because Biden's in office, he's canceled the pipeline, he's doing away with thousands of people's jobs, he's opened up the borders to let the immigrants go. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, where Trump had it down, you know, EpiPens and insulin and all that was way cheaper, now he's done away with that, and the prices for insulin and EpiPens are back up. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, God's people does what?
Rejoice.
They rejoice. It's well with them. But when the unrighteous is in authority, listen, this, I don't give a rip if it's Biden or Trump or who it is. It's not about the person. It's about the plan and the purposes of God. God had one before it ever started. He knows the end from the beginning. He done played the tape, made the movie before he ever started it. But he says here, he says, because of them, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. What? The word of the Lord is coming to them. Now, a lot of God's people, they don't have a clue of what's going on today. They're fearful. They think it's over. They think that America, the United States, is just going down the drain and all of that stuff. No, it's not. I don't know how long we'll have to endure the things that's going on here. But I do know this, through the word of the Lord, God is going to bring things back and he's going to restore it.
Amen.
How long it'll have to be this way, I can't tell you. I don't know. Now, am I a prophet? No. But I listen to the prophets. And I've been listening to them ever since I've been saved. Do I take just their word? Absolutely not. I see if it lines up with this. I see if it lines up with this. I see if it lines up with what I know about him. The way to be, like I told you a while ago, God would never destroy the righteous along with the wicked. No. He wouldn't do it. And he's telling them here why. Because they're faced with a situation. We're faced with a situation today. Had I not been hearing the word of the Lord, I wouldn't know certain things that's going on myself. And when I haven't heard, I can't have faith. And if I don't have faith, there's only two other things, is doubt and fear. But I got to hear. And let me tell you something. If you really and truly want to know and to hear, God will make a way. If you really don't, it's not a big deal. He won't send it. But he's telling them here, don't be afraid. And that's what God's saying to his people today. He goes on, verse 16. It says, tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Joel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Now listen, flesh and blood is not what we wrestle with, right? We know what we wrestle with, right? According to Ephesians 6, principalities, powers, wicked spirits, right? Over there in Ephesians 6, he says, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. We should be praising the Lord right now. But if you're looking and believing the things that is being said and going on here in the earth, you won't. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. It's always that way. If he's sending a word through his prophets, believe it and you will prosper.
Amen.
He goes on and it says, and when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. But notice that. When they sang and praised the Lord, God sent the ambushments. Let me tell you something. There is warfare in our praise and in our worship to the Lord that can handle the enemy.
Yes.
There's way more with us and for us than there ever is for the devil. He goes on, 23. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, what's that mean? Everything they had.
Yep.
Their clothes, their money, their gold, their silver, their shoes, everything. It says, they found among them in what?
Abundance.
Both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you everything they've said because they've said a lot. I can tell you the parts that I remember and I believe to be true. The things that's going on now, God has allowed. God is setting the enemy up. Why? He always overplays his hand. Just like in the Bible, when Jesus, y'all remember the story, how the, what it was, astrologers or whatever they was, the wise men or whatever, they saw the star and they followed it and they found Jesus and they told the king and all that. And he says, well, tell me, you know, where he is. And the decree was sent out, you know, all kids from 2 years old to newborn, kill them. That wasn't Herod, that was the devil. Why? He knows what God said over in Genesis. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. So he's got to stop this baby while he's still a baby so he doesn't have to deal with the man.
Yep.
Always ahead of himself. See how God is? And this was prophesied years and years and years. The word of the Lord will never fail. It'll always come to pass. Anyway, but the devil, he gets ahead of himself. He thinks he's done that. He works through people just like God works through people. He has to have people just like God has to have people. Well, the story goes on, you know, Jesus grows up and all of that. The word of the Lord, everything God said about him, you know, is coming to pass and everything. And then lo and behold, the devil sees an opportunity, which he doesn't realize God is setting him up to do the perfect plan and purpose and will of God. And that's to kill Jesus. Y'all remember in Isaiah, right? It says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Talking about Jesus over in Isaiah. It pleased the Lord to do that to him. Why? Because he's gaining all of us.
Yeah.
And he's going to raise him back up so he really ain't losing anything.
Yeah, right.
But he's going to use the devil to bring about his own plans and purposes. But the devil's so dumb he don't even know it. In that part. Now he's crafty. There's nobody like him as far as being sly and crafty. But not too much for the Holy Ghost. So we know the story. He goes on. He has Jesus whipped and beat and crucified and all that. And the boss, all of hell rejoices. Hey, yay, we've killed the Son of God. He goes to hell. But not because the devil took him there. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down and I'm going to raise it back up again, right?
Yep.
So the devil didn't do it. God allowed every bit of it. It was according to his plan and his purposes. That's the exact same thing that's going on today. There will come a time to where it is a one world government and it will not be good. Now, me personally, I hope we're done gone from here. But the Bible talks about the church, the body of Christ, is the restraining force in the earth. We restrain evil. Right? And we yield to God. So the thing that's going, God said through the prophets, he said, I'm not pleased with the Democrats or the Republicans.
Right.
There is corruption in both. And what God is doing is allowing the enemy, he's setting him up and allowing the enemy to work these things that they think they're working, but God is doing it to expose the corruption and bring them down.
Amen.
Why? He says, I'm tired of it.
Come on.
Does it look bad? Oh, yeah. But things are not the way that they appear. They're
That's
not
right.
the way that they seem. God said Trump would serve 8 years, and
right.
he will.
Right.
The word of the Lord through the prophets, they said, they shall say, impeach, impeach. He said, but I say nay. That was the first time.
Right. Yeah.
He said, but I say nay. And he said, and they say, impeach, impeach. He said, and this too
shall not
happen.
Right.
What happened yesterday?
Bless the Lord.
I've been hearing this word since 2008. Since 2008, the impeachment process. Trump didn't even go in until 2016.
Right.
He wasn't even being thought about by people in 2008. And the way that the word of the Lord came, he said, he is my David.
Yep.
He says, the trump shall become a trump.
No.
What did God do with David? He ruled the nations. That is what Trump is to God.
Yep.
he's just a man that God has chosen, just like God chose Mary. It could have been somebody. That's who God chose. It could have been you, Johnny. It's not because Trump is special. It's just that's his choice. Now, me personally, I don't really care for his attitude, you know, but that's okay. God don't like mine either sometimes. You know, so it's not about the person. It's about the purpose and the plans and the will of God. They will come to pass exactly as God has wrote it.
Yeah.
But just like the man, the devil is ahead of himself and overplaying his hand.
Yeah.
And God's just letting it carry on. How long he's going to let it carry on, I don't know. Did y'all see what happened yesterday whenever they said, let's just do witnesses?
Yep. Saw it.
I'm telling you, the senators went berserk. They didn't know that was coming. The house managers is the one that brought that up. Let's do the witnesses. They had to have it. They had to cut the mics off. Why? I don't want nobody doing witnesses. Trump's lawyer, he told him, every one of y'all gonna come to my office in Philadelphia. So how are we doing it? They all started laughing. He said, this is the process, whether you know it or not, and you go come to my office and give your deposition. They wanted to do it by Zoom. But when that happened, they cut off the mic, and before you know it, next thing I know, they come back, trial over with, acquittal done.
Yeah.
See, are you serious? Why? They don't want nobody doing no talking. They don't want nobody telling nothing. Why? Because all this stuff is going to come out. But listen to me. It's all God, and it's going to be good. It's all going to be well when it's over with.
Right.
And the word of the Lord is, when Trump comes back, and I don't know if it's going to be in 2024 or if it's going to be before, I have no clue.
Right.
They didn't put a date on that I've heard. But he's coming back. And God says, I'm going to bless America.
Yep.
He said, this is the only place that has ever been established because the people loved me. He said, I established Israel because I loved them.
Mm.
He said, but America came about because the people loved and wanted me. And he said, I will never forget my covenant that I made with your forefathers. So God is not into destroying America or his people that lives in America.
Amen.
Now, I understand he gets fed up with the people that shake their fist in his face. And stuff's got to come. And all me and you's got to do is hear the word of the Lord and believe the word of the Lord. Because what God needs us doing now, because so many of his people say, they just quit. They went by what they've seen. Even there's been prophets, they're now denouncing their word and said, I thought I heard the Lord, but I guess not. Why? Because of what they see and what they hear. It's not the word of the Lord happening, looks like.
That's right.
But what does God call us to do? We walk and we live by faith. We hear the word of the Lord and we confess the word of the Lord. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18, Paul told Timothy, he said, wage a good warfare with the prophecies that has come before you by the laying on of my hands.
Right.
What's that mean? The Apostle Paul, I guarantee you, y'all remember the story, he got locked up and God told him, you're going to go to Rome. You got to go to Rome. He got shipwrecked, Monty. He got snake bit. I mean, the man went through all kinds of stuff. But I guarantee you, Sandy, I bet you, he said, I can't die yet. God said I'm going to Rome, and I got to get there somehow or another.
Amen.
That is exactly what God needs his people doing today. God, you said. I didn't say it. God, you said it. You said you would restore the riches to America.
Amen.
You said you would do it. You said you would take care of us. But he needs us in faith coming out of our mouth. And let me tell you, you'll help your brothers and sisters in the Lord too that are so discouraged, some of them.
Yeah.
Why? They've not heard the word of the Lord through the prophets. They're not a prophet themselves. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. They think gas is going to go to $5 a gallon. And how am I going to survive? You're going to survive the same way you always have, honey. Trust in the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
But we must obey his word and we must hang on to his word in faith. Do it. Because you get in fear, you're going to start making wrong decisions.
Yes, that's right.
You can't be led by fear.
Yep.
You'll make the wrong choice every time. I got to stop because we're actually a few minutes over. Does anybody have anything they would like to share down these lines? But let's not die. Go ahead, John.
I got a question. When it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehoiada, what's the difference between the Spirit of the Lord and the Holy Spirit?
It's the same.
It's the same?